Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you and thank you for joining in today and loving the Lord enough to honor His Word and find out what He says in His words. And we are going to have probably a shorter lesson than usual today. We're going to finish up this matter of this question of sexual love and sexual perversion. We've it's been quite a long answer to this question, hasn't it? But since we've been studying this, has anything changed in your mind concerning the word sex? Remember when we started this thing out and we just brought the word sex up and it seemed like we was doing something wrong about just saying the word having to do with a Christian study? Well, what do you think about it now? It's really not that offensive now, is it? Because we understand what the original meaning was and what the purity of the word and what it meant, meaning only division or the divided of the sexed. They are the sexed of the man, the man and the woman, the male and the female. So it's really not an offensive word when it comes to using it as like an application used to be. What's your sex? They're all over the place, but not now. After we've seen that thing with 58 different things you can put down, and if you and right at the end of it, probably got a little block that says a block with a line on it. And if you don't want to pick trans, queer, or whatever one they offer, then you can just make one up. That's the filth that's in the world today. And we know that they don't understand what the word sex means anymore. It's automatically perverted and misused in the world. So whatever with them and the world. But we Christians, we understand what it means, and we honor the Lord. And we've been over a lot of studies with this, scripture having to do with this matter of this question. Today we're going to finish up this question all together. And the last recording that we did, we talked about homosexuality and lesbianism, and then we also had a piece prior to that before we got into that having to do with, we talked about whoredom and harlotry and prostitution, and we also talked about adultery, if you remember. And we defined them and we got into it and started breaking it down according to the scriptures and what the scripture says. And you should have all the scriptures according to what we've been studying down through there. And I hope you've been looking at them to really let God the Holy Ghost verify the thing, verify His word in you concerning what you ought to think and how your doctrine ought to be concerning sex, sexual love, and sexual perversion, and what the Bible says about it. Now, we talked about incest and what the scriptures say about that and what God thinks about that. We talked about sodomy and went down through there and discussed that and read what the Lord had to say about it. And today we talked about homosexuality and lesbianism, we did. And today we're going to finish it up with a short, there's nothing a whole lot to talk about, and not the Lord doesn't have much to say about bestiality, with exception of a few scriptures that He talks about. And He doesn't go into detail about it, and He just says what He thinks about it, and that's it, and that's the way it is. So we'll start out there, and we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 21, and here's what the Bible says. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, that's what the Lord thinks about it right there. He had all the people stood up and read the law, and all the people said, Amen. In other words, we agree with it. So be it. And that's what the Lord says. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. He also said in another place that it was abominable, it was confusion. And when he was talking about some of these other perversions, but bestiality, we defined that, and it's just a matter of human being with beasts when it comes to fornicating with them and doing that which is unseemly, the Bible says. And the women, the Lord talks about women laying down with them and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and also men. Okay, now we go on and we read some scriptures here. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "And if any man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto a beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman." Now, there's that lovey-dovey Jesus that all love, all he wouldn't hurt a flea. He wouldn't never say anything bad about anything. The Lord said, kill her. Look it up. It's there. "Thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. Now, of course, we're under grace, but we're not talking about the dispensation. What we're talking about is the Lord's opinion about this stuff, about this perverted stuff. In the New Testament, the Lord didn't change that much, with exception of the death penalty, the immediate death penalty, and that there was grace available to have it forgiven and forgotten and put away because of what Jesus did. Okay, but the Lord's opinion about this stuff has not changed. He still finds it an abomination, and he also finds it to be confusion. And he says that, matter of fact, that verse right there is one of the very few that the Lord, rather than just saying they shall be put to death, he said thou shalt kill the woman. Now, that's not very popular with some of you Christians that like all that sweet talk and don't like to be talked to in your ears. Nothing offensive that would cause you to be upset or anything. But the Word of God takes it for granted that it's going to speak the truth no matter what anybody thinks. The Bible does not say what the Bible says according to people's opinion or the majority or even the minority. The Bible speaks what God says. Now, we got another verse, bestiality. Like I said, there's not much to say about it, with exception of that it is a perversion. It is a sexed, divisional perversion among males and females. It does happen today and is going on today. And even as a, oh my, it gets into this thing called, I've never had anything to do with it, but you hear say the things that people say about the black web and stuff like that, and all the perversion and the where the devil's got on that internet, and you know how he travels through the air and all the perversion that's going through that. That you can just about get pictures and movies and copies and blobbity blobbity blab of all this filth, and bestiality is one of them. And things are going on today like never before, brothers and sisters. It's filthy, nasty, ungodly garbage can, perverted. The world is perverted. I don't know how you people say, all you people talk about things are getting better and talk about how things are humanity is coming together. And yeah, they're coming together, and you see what's going on. They're apostatizing like crazy, and the world's this age is going to end just like all the rest of them in apostasy. Everybody turn against God and humanity loving itself and thinking that it's going to do the great thing and bring in the kingdom. It's not going to bring nothing in but diseases, the judgment of God, and death. The wages of sin is death. And these perversions, the only difference today than the beginning during the Reformation or something like that is that people are more seared today and becoming more seared, and it's gone all the way into your government, and people are getting rights to be able to do this stuff. Yeah. Having the right, they don't even talk about adultery anymore. I don't even know if it's still on the books. I'm not sure. I don't know if you can go to court for adultery anymore. I think if there was $1 million involved, it probably could. You probably could. But as far as fornicating and bestiality and all the things that you could be brought to court, I mean, like we was talking about earlier, there was one that I was looking on the booking report right here in town where I'm at, that somebody got arrested. I can't remember the title or the offense that they officially made of it, but it was doing something, some kind of perversion within 1,000 feet of a church. Now, I was impressed to hear that. That they would even have a law that would honor God's, anything having to do with the Lord. We're in the end times, and there's no doubt about it. The signs of the times are everywhere, and the Lord is coming. And that is what man and woman is supposed to, that's what we're supposed to be looking for, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not the second coming, but the rapture. Okay, that's part of the second coming, is the catching away. When the Lord tells us, come up hither, and he takes the body of Christ out, and that's us, the church, and takes us out of here. That's what we're waiting for. But the Bible, when we're studying our Bible, the majority of the scriptures don't talk about salvation and don't talk about all the other doctrinal things. The main subject of the scriptures is Jesus Christ and his second coming. When he comes to set up his kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years, and he rules and reigns, and his government rules and reigns. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but your Bible teaches in the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, ends saying that Jesus Christ, the Old Testament ends, and the New Testament ends saying that Jesus Christ, even so, come Lord, and he's going to rule and reign, and people ain't going to get their rights to be a minority, to speak what they want to speak, and all that kind of garbage that's going on today. Well, I think during Jesus Christ's reign, when he's here, he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and you're going to do what you're told to do. And if you're not after righteousness and you want to fool around and everything else, and you want to live in sinful wickedness, you're going to answer to righteousness then under Jesus Christ's rule and reign. And ain't going to be a bunch of this passive garbage that goes on, and it's going to be a righteous government, and righteousness is going to be in the land. And boy, isn't it going to be good? Isn't it going to be good? The Lord said, love the good and hate the evil. Love the good and hate the evil. That's the way you're supposed to be training your mind to think. You're supposed to be guarding that heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time and you've grown in the Word of God and you've understood and you're finding out that there's a part of you, that flesh, that is wicked, 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 and it don't want anything to do with the Lord. and that your heart will drag you off into some kind of goo, some kind of black, sinful goo. It'll take you and deceive you and drag you off if you don't keep your heart with all diligence. And you don't train your mind to think the way the Lord thinks. So, bestiality. Definitely a perversion. Definitely listed in the Scriptures as a perversion. God thinks it's wicked. He thinks that it is confusion, and he can't imagine anybody having anything to do with it. Now, all these things that we've listed here, let's go back to the beginning, and let's just recap what we've talked about. We're talking about the sexes, and sexual love, and sexual perversion. That's where we are in this question. That's the current question that we are on, ending today. And when we begin this, we took the word sex and we stayed right on that and began to study the etymology of the word. In other words, find out what the root word was and track it back and see where this word come from. Does it mean what it meant? Does it mean what it means today? Well, absolutely not. The word had nothing to do with this perversion that goes on today in the name of sex. The root word began as a seku, come from southern India and Sri Lanka, a Dravidian language, remember. And it meant division. When they spoke that word, they weren't talking about some kind of disgusting, perverted thing. They were talking about the divided. To divide something, to cut it, to separate it. And when we talk about in the Scriptures, and when they compare this word with male and female, that's why this word was attached to that, because that's what God did. God took the man and divided him. He cut him open, or however he did it, and he closed the wound up thereof. I don't know what he cut him with, or maybe he just spoke it open. I don't know. The Lord does what he wants to, but it doesn't say. But it did say he closed it up there, closed the wound up thereof. But he took that rib out of there, and it was Adam's rib, and he made a division. He divided Adam, and he made a woman, and he made her female. And he called her woman. Adam named her woman. She shall be called woman. And now you got two human beings that are divided from one. And one of them is a male. One of them is a female. One of them is a man. One of them is a woman. And those are called the sexed. God sexed Adam and made a male and female. A division. The division between men and women, the biological sex, the biological division. God did that. He didn't use the word sex, but that's where the word started. When it began to be talked about, it meant division, and it was attached to man and woman, and it meant either of the main divisions of a male and female, either of the main divisions, male or female. Into which living things are placed on the basis of their reproductive functions. The sexed. What sex are you? What divided part are you? Are you male or are you female? Nothing perverted about that. Just, what are you? When you go to adopt you an animal, one of the questions you always ask is, well, what is it? Well, what do you mean? Well, what division is it? Is it male or is it female? That's not an unnatural question or a brand new thing. It's been talked about and asked a bazillion times since man's been here. But that's where the word started. And then man got a hold of it, and as perversion began, and man, the uglier man got, and the trashier man got, and then this guy comes along in the late 1800s and 1900s, and really takes the word and perverts it, Alfred Charles Kinsey, in the name of sexual research. And he displays his perversion and the devilment of his heart, and gets with the right kind of perverts in the right place, and gets it financed and gets it turned into some kind of college or some kind of educational program in the name of sexual perversion. And that runs down through there, and when it finishes, now you got a perverted word. Then we talked about him himself and his character and the way that he lived and what he was all about, and ended up being a stinking pervert and done some terrible things, and should have been some things should have taken place legally and everything else, because of what is. Somebody tried to pull off what he pulled off today in public in the name of science. I don't know what would happen. But we got through that, and then we come on and brought it up to 2019 and 2020, and you say, well, Brother Thurman, is it just as bad? No, it's worse. Because now you got this computer around, and you got all this information running to and fro, and now you got trans feminine, trans woman, trans person, intersex, gender queer, gender questioning, all these people that call themselves this. I just read some news the other day. I don't know where, Colorado, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm not really much on reading news. But when I see something about what the homosexuals are doing, or how all that's moving, and all this rights stuff. There was one transsexual that went and shot a Colorado school all up and killed a child and killed a youngster, a teenager, I think it was. Anyway, you know the school shootings. There's another one, but it was a transsexual this time. And people were making fun of him in the school. What do you expect? What do you expect people to do? You're trying to change the world around and tell somebody that they're something that they're not. And there's lies flying all around and deceit, and you're expecting these children to comply with all this deceit and these lies that are going on. Well, I'm not really a boy. I'm a girl. And then you take them and lay them down on an operating table and cut them all to pieces. And in the name of pretending and fantasy. And then this guy's going to school and he used to be a girl or used to be a boy and now he's a girl, whatever he was. But he's going to school and you think all the other children ain't going to... kids are hard on each other even when they're all straight. And the result of that is that he got tired of being messed around with and called a pervert and everything else, so he shot the school up. That's what happens. And we went on down through there, and we began to break down these three parts of the question that we were talking about. We talked about the sexes, that it was by God, that it was, and the sexes were divided for a reason. They were divided for union, for helpfulness, for procreation. I mean, God didn't just split them up for no reason. He didn't make male and female for just to be making male. He had a plan for it. To show his glory and what he could do. That he could take and split a man, make a woman, let them come together and create another human being. And it turned out to be a male or a female. There ain't never been a transgender born. They have to be made and changed. We talked about the regulations concerning the sexes and what the Bible says. All of this as we went down through here talking about this word sex and this issue of sexual, the sexes, the divided. And then we talked about sexual love between the sexed, male and female, the divided, that it was good and holy in the eyes of God, that in the mind of God, that it was in the marriage bed was undefiled. And the Lord still thinks that. The marriage bed, not the perverted bed, not the fornicating bed, not the adultery bed, not the whore bed, the marriage bed. It's meant for procreation, to make babies. The Lord said, make them, make a bunch of them. Fill the earth. You have to do a lot of making babies to fill the earth up. I heard a man, a preacher, that done, they talking about, remember that thing that went on, and they talking about how the earth's getting crowded and all this blah 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 in business? This earth ain't near even crowded. He said you can take everybody on the planet and put them in the area of Jacksonville, Florida, and they would fit and have some space. I didn't know that. Did you know that? But they're trying to convince everybody that the world is crowded and getting too full. That's because they got a plan to kill some of them. That's why. It's meant for marriage only. It was meant for expressions of love, remember? And mutual responsibilities of taking care of one another's need so Satan couldn't tempt that marriage. And then we talked about sexual perversion, and we went through the we talked about what the definition of perversion was, of being perverse and being obstinate. And that's what any pervert turns out to be, obstinate. The tenaciously unwillingness to yield, stubborn, persistent in wrongdoing. I don't care. Leave me alone. I'll be a pervert if I want to be a pervert. And you don't have the right to call me one. Resistance to guidance and discipline, tending to do the opposite of what is normal. People don't even, normal is a cuss word to people. It's offensive to people nowadays. Because things are so wicked and perverted that they don't want to hear the word normal. It offends them. Too bad. That's what the Bible says. Natural is what the Bible says. That which is natural. Leaving the natural use of the woman, the natural use of the man. What's natural? What nature? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, and nature declares God's glory also. But adultery and prostitution and incest and homosexuality, the trash can, stinking, perverted, nasty parts of humanity. Homosexuality, lesbianism, sodomy, bestiality, and fornication. The Bible talks about all of it. It doesn't use those names particularly, but it talks about the sin. And then we left the definitions of those and we took each one of them individually and found out what the Bible said individually and itemized them. Adultery. We found out what the Bible said concerning the definitions of adultery and the results of the sin of adultery, remember? And we also came down through there and we talked about the forgiveness of adultery, that it can be forgiven. And the only thing keeping it from being forgiven is confession. Just telling God what he already knows. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord keeps his word and he does what he says he does. ask any Christian that's been forgiven. And then we talked about some examples in the Bible of adultery. The Bible's not foreign to adultery, and the people, the righteous people in the Scriptures are not foreign to adultery. God has dealt with adultery since humans have been, since the fall of man. And the Lord's been so kind, He made a way that He could forgive people of adultery. And if any of you that are listening to this right now have had anything to do with that, and it's very possible, you have a life before you got saved, didn't you? But these ones in Corinth, they were the saved. They're the church that was doing this kind of stuff. But the Lord made provision for them to be forgiven. The New Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ finished all that. Anything can be forgiven. If you do it the way the Lord says to do it, and being good and making up for your adultery and all that kind of stuff ain't going to work with the Lord. You can't work your way to being forgiven for adultery. The Lord will forgive you as a gift, but He says you're going to do it my way. We're not going to do it your way. The Lord says if you'll confess it, if you're born again and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are the Lord's son or daughter. You're in His family. And He is your Heavenly Father. And if you are involved in that and you need to get that thing squared away and get it right and go on with your life, then you need to get with the Lord and talk about it. And confess to Him everything that's in your heart. I mean, confess it. Not, well, you know, if he hadn't have been walking around like this, or she hadn't have been this, or the blah-bitty-blah, and all that kind of stuff that we do. No, you tell Him the truth. And you say, Lord, I did this. I lusted. I knew better than to do it, but I did it anyway. It's my fault, Lord, and I'm sorry, and confess it. And the Lord said if you'll do that, that He will cleanse you of that sin. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation can't be touched. That's sealed. But your conscience and the forgiveness of it as a child of your Heavenly Father and in the family of God has everything to do with it. Get with the Lord, tell Him what you did, and tell him what you know you ought to be telling Him and confessing. When the Lord says confess, we're not stupid. We know what confess means. Having to do with adultery, the Lord said, if you'll confess it, I'll forgive it, and I'll cleanse it. I'll cleanse all the sin and take away the guilt, and you can move on. Whoredom, harlotry, and prostitution we talked about. The Scripture's got it all through there. Ever since man's been on the earth, there's been whores and prostitutes. Now we got men walking around prostituting themselves and even wearing little frilly dresses and pretending that they're, drag queens or something like that. Full-grown men and grandpas and granddaddies dressing up in frilly little dancing tutus and walking around with painted faces and stinking shaved legs and all this, and going into libraries and making a way for little kids to come in there for drag queen stories. Let me give you some advice. Don't take your kids to the library when they have drag queen day. Incest, we talked about. And then we come on down there, we talked about the punishment for incest. We talked about what the Bible says, the relations that are prohibited when it comes to incest and what the Bible says, and the curses and the punishment for it. We talked about sodomy, where it come from, where the name come from, why it's called what it's called, and what we know what sodomy is. We don't have to talk about that anymore. It's prohibited in the scriptures, and and we talked about the prevalence of it, and how much it was going on, and how it went down, how it's been. You always have to fight against this filth of sodomy. You know why it's this one here, but all down through history in the scriptures, you find that the kings always had to fight against it, or it was going to pop its ugly head up again. The prevalence of it, and then the removal of it, and the reforms against it, and the continuance of it. That's identified in the New Testament, in Romans. Romans chapter 1 identifies it again, that it just continues to happen. Then we talked about homosexuality and lesbianism in Romans chapter 1. In the Kings and Genesis, we talked about it. Leviticus and 1 Timothy and Romans, we talked about it. Going down through there. And then we come to bestiality. And we didn't have very many words for that or very many scriptures for that. We read there in Deuteronomy chapter 27 where God said it's a cursed thing and cursed be the one that does it. That lies with any manner of beast. And then Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 15 and 16. It gives a punishment for it, for a male and a female. And then we're going to finish this way. You know, in conclusion to this question, what about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? The scripture's not been confusing on this matter at all. And very clear about what and how the Lord thinks. Now let's go believing what the Lord says. And believe what he says and conform our thinking and our doctrine to what the Lord says, because it is right and it is truth. You're not going to get anybody to step over on your way of thinking in the world. Just get that in your head already. All the billboards, all the signs, all the movies, all your movie productions, all your newscasts, all this kind of stuff is perverted. And that's the way the world thinks. But that's not the way God thinks, and that's not the way the Bible says. And it ain't going to change for nobody. Let's go believing what the Lord says in all purity and a clear conscience. There ain't no perverts out there with a clear conscience. I don't care what they say. There's no trash can perversion, sex, trashed, nasty, trash, smelly, perverted garbage in the world that has a clear conscience. Might have a seared conscience, but not a clear conscience. Now, if you found that there are some things that the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you about concerning this question, and whatever it might be, don't shun the Lord. Don't shun Him. There's a reason the Lord had you listen to this. And the reason is not to make the Lord any more holier. The Lord doesn't need bettering. He don't need no more holiness. He is holiness. He has spoken His word about what He thinks about things, of what is right and wrong concerning doctrine, so that we could know what was right and wrong, and we could get it right between us and Him. So don't shun the Lord. Rather, go to Him in prayer, remembering that the Lord is merciful and stands ready to forgive. That's what the Bible says. He stands ready to forgive. Now, isn't He a beautiful God? You can't hide this stuff. Not from the Lord. And that is our life, is the Lord. The idea is to walk pleasing to the Lord. He saved us. Our future is locked in. We're going to be with Him. But as long as we're here and in this flesh and this wicked flesh we have to carry around with us and battle every day, the Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's the inside, or that's the outside, and spirit, there's the inside, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, we know that we're not going to be perfect as far as God is perfect, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ, until we become like Him, until we're changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body, and we put on immortality. That's when we become completely perfect. But until then, we're carrying around this dead man, this flesh. But the Bible says for us to be cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. When you perfect something, you practice at it. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perverts don't fear God. That's why they can do what they do. You didn't fear God until the Lord saved you. That's why you did what you did. But after you got saved and you found out how much the Lord loves you and what He done for you and what He continues to do for you, we began to fear Him. The Bible says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Isn't He wonderful? I love Him because I want to love Him and because of what He's done for me. And you should too. And I'm sure you do. Then let's honor Him and let's be devoted to Him. Let's let our allegiance be to Him. And let's walk pleasing in His sight. Ain't nothing easy about being a Christian. And any of these fools and idiots out here that think they can define Christianity without being born again are nuts. They ain't got the slightest idea. And if you're living as a Christian in a perverted manner and living in the flesh, you ain't got nothing to say about it either. The Bible says repent. And that's what we need to do. The Bible says it's by the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It's when God is being kind to you and being good to you that he works with your heart to try to get your heart to repent. But it's just like He talked to those Jews in the Old Testament and to Israel. He says, you pulled away the shoulder and you turned your back to Me and you resist. Don't do that. Come to the Lord and tell Him what you did and tell Him how you did it and why you did it and what's going on, and then ask Him to forgive you. And it's that simple. But you got to humble yourself and you got to be sincere and you got to be honest, because the Lord can't be manipulated. You don't get forgiveness just because you say it with your mouth. The Lord looks at the heart. And He's probably already forgiven you when it comes from the heart. He's probably already forgiven you before it even comes out of your mouth. And already cleansed you. He's so wonderful. So, talking about sex, sexual love and sexual perversion, praise the Lord that we don't have to be involved in any of that mess and nastiness and garbage anymore, for pulling us out of it, and let's walk clean before Him and pleasing before Him from now on until we see the Lord. Amen? All right. Well, let me give you these last couple scriptures here. And if you decide that you want the papers and this stuff already made up, these lessons already put in order, then just email me and I'll send them to you. Today's lesson on this bestiality mess is Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 21. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. And those were the scriptures that we used with that. And then we talked about 1 John 1, 9, concerning confessing our sins to the Lord, and Psalm 86, 5, that the Lord is good and ready to forgive, and he's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him, call upon thee. Amen. All right. Well, y'all have a wonderful afternoon or evening or whatever it is. And the next thing we're going to talk about in our questions often asked study is, does God predestinate people to receive Christ? Does God predestinate people to be saved? Is it God's plan that he's already named your name to be saved before you got saved? Do you have any choice in it or any will in it at all? What's the Bible say? Well, we're going to talk about that. And that'll be on the next recording. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.